Tonight, what I want to discuss is something that is Omed al HaPerek, comes up every so often. Every time it comes up, it's extremely, extremely unfortunate. But the story is that there is a couple that is supposed to be getting married very soon, and there was a shaila that was raised about the background of either the chassan or the kala. I'm not going to give any details away. I'm sure nobody in the room knows who they are anyway. It's not a local wedding, but it's a very important issue. There's a shaila of mamzerus that happened to have come up by mistake. The question is whether this chassan or kala is actually a mamzer. And if so, what are we supposed to do a very short time before the wedding? This is how I spent most of my day yesterday. I was supposed to be teaching in Stern College in the afternoon, and most of the class was spent back and forth on the phone with my father and Rav Asher Weiss, trying to figure out whether or not there's something that we can do to be matur this couple to go ahead and get married. So what I wanted to do tonight is to give a little bit of the background to understand where the severity of this issue really comes from. You know, I'm sure we're all aware of the fact that there's a sugya of aguna. We're all very sympathetic to a woman who doesn't have any way to move on with her life, who is stuck because her husband was ma'agin her. That is not the case that the Gemara talks about when it says aguna. The Gemara never imagined that there would be such a Rasha Marusha, such a horrific person who would hold up a get from his wife and stop her from allowing herself to move forward in life. There was no such havamina. When the Gemara talks about mishamiguna ikilu barabanan, the Gemara is talking about a very unfortunate case, but not because anyone did anything malicious. The case is, a husband goes away on a business trip, and he never comes back. And now what do you do? The woman's going to be stuck forever? So what kind of testimony are we able to rely upon when somebody comes back and says, oh, I was in this town and I saw your husband in the market and then I saw that something happened, there was an accident and I think it was him. How strong does the testimony need to be in order to allow the woman to get remarried? After all, she is an Eishes Ish. So how do we remove that shackle over herself that she's an Eishes Ish? That's where the Gemara says we have a very soft and sensitive spot for an Aguna. Now the case of Aguna in our generation is something that took a whole new twist. Now you have people who, it's not that the husband goes the Medina Sayyam. It's not that he gets lost. It's that he deliberately decides he's not going to allow her to move on. So that's really something that has made us all feel extremely sensitive to her cause, and we try whatever we can to figure out a way how it is that we can help such a woman in such a very dire and unfortunate situation. I would venture to say, it's very hard to compare tragedies, but somebody who is a mamzer is in just as bad of a situation, if not worse. You'll see in a moment, maybe it's worse. But it's definitely something that is of a terribly, terribly painful situation, and a person can really be very stuck in many different ways. So let us begin with the following. The Gemara says in Maseches Kiddushin, Daf Samach Tes, it goes through a whole bunch of different layers of what the Jewish community is made up of. Obviously, not all of us are Kohanim, not all of us are Levim, some of us are Yisraelim, some of us come from this Shevet, from that Shevet, and the Gemara says, Asara Yuchsin, there are 10 different levels of people who can be a part of the Jewish community. Some of them are Gerim, some of them are converts, some of them are Bali Tshuva, different kinds of people. All of them, Kula Mahuvim, all of them are beloved, all of them should be taken in as a full part of the fold, all of them should be really embraced by us. But the Gemara does say that there is this category, one of the 10 people who is part of the Jewish community, is the category of a mamzer. A mamzer does not mean you're not a Jew. A mamzer means, of course you're a Jew, but there's something wrong with the origins of your coming into this world. So the Gemara says that, based on the Psukim, the Pasuk says, Lo yavo mamzer bekahal Hashem. The Torah says that a mamzer is not allowed to come into the Jewish community, into the Jewish religion, and therefore the Gemara learns from there that that means a mamzer is not allowed to marry a Jew at all. Rashi quotes that on Chumash, Lo yisa Yisraelis, he's not allowed to marry a Jewish woman. Now, the Gemara then says in Maseches Yevamah Zayin Ches, how long does this last? We find the Torah says sometimes you're not allowed to have somebody from this nation come to the Jewish people. That means 3 generations after the problem, then we wouldn't allow it. There was a major discussion after the Shoah, should we ever allow a convert to come from German descent? Should we ever allow somebody who was a Nazi, there were Nazis after the war who wanted to convert because of their guilt, or because maybe they actually did tshuva and they realized how terrible they were, and they decided we have to do everything for the Jewish community, and that means converting. There was a major question, should we allow them into the Jewish community or maybe not? How do you judge whether or not they're sincere in what they wish for, in what they're asking us? Very difficult questions at the time, but the Gemara says that sometimes we have somebody who's not allowed to come into the Jewish nation for a certain finite period of time. However, here the Gemara says in Maseches Yevamos Ayin Chesam and Beis that the problem of a mamzer is not just a one generational problem; it is laad ula olme olamim. It is a problem that was generated and it continues to go from one generation to the next. So, if the mamzer or mamzeres, either a man or a woman who comes from this kind of marriage, a mamzer means when you have an eshes ish, when you have a woman who is married to her husband. And while she is married to her husband, has an affair with somebody else, and as a result of that, they have a child. That child would be a mamzer. That child, either a boy or a girl, would then perpetuate that problem of mamzerus going on and on and on. And as the Gemara says, this applies both to a mamzer and a mamzeres, both to a man and a woman. The Gemara Maseches Yevamos Ayin Vav says maybe we should say it only applies to a mamzer, velo mamzeres. After all, the Torah says lo yavar mamzer bekal Hashem. And that's Balashon Zachar, so says the Gemara, maybe it means only a male mamzer is a problem, but a female would be okay, says the Gemara, no. Mamzer means everyone across the board, man and woman. And then, as we said, the problem here is that it goes and it perpetuates. Now, what's very interesting about that halacha is that we have a Mishnah, Maseches Kiddushin, Daf Samach Vaz. The Mishnah says, what happens generally? How do we determine what status this child would have in general? If I have two parents that get married. So the father is a Kohen and the mother is a Yisraelis. So what is the child? Child will be a Kohen. What if it's the other direction? The mother is a Koheness, a Bas Kohen, and the father is a Yisrael. He's a Yisrael. Fine, that's the way it goes. Usually it goes, that Yuchsin goes by the father. The Shevet goes by the father. What about if the mother is Jewish and the father is not? So the child is Jewish. What if it's in the other direction? The father is Jewish and the mother is not. So the mother determines whether or not the child is going to be a Jew. What's very interesting here is we have guidelines by all these other things. Kohen Levi Yisrael, we know how to determine. Jewish or non-Jewish, we know how to determine. Here the Mishnah says, very surprisingly, Havlad Holech Achar HaPogum. You look at the father and mother and you decide which one is worse. And that's the status that the child is going to have. Now why should that be the case? We should say, if we're trying to figure out whether the child is a mamzer or not, it should be determined based on either the father or the mother. Why would you say that either one of the two who has this terrible stain on them, obviously for doing nothing wrong on their own, something that their parents did wrong, either one of them, we should say, that's not something that should perpetuate to the child. Why don't you look at either the father or the mother and have the same uniform halacha in every case? Says the Gemara, no. We have a very unusual halacha when it comes to a mamzer, and that is Havlad Holech Achar HaPogum. So if either the father or the mother is a mamzer or mamzeres, that would then perpetuate that mamzer status to any further children. What's very unfortunate about a mamzer, it's not only everything that we've been describing, what's very unfortunate about it is, it's not only when somebody intentionally does something wrong. When you have a woman who in the context of her marriage goes out and has an extramarital affair, so we say, okay, we're going to slap a terrible price upon you for what you did, and we're going to say your child is a mamzer, as the Gemara refers to it, mu'uvas la'yachal liskon. This is a terrible blunder, a terrible mistake that there's no way to fix. It's too bad. So, I would understand that that would be the case if somebody does something wrong. What if you have, terribly, rachmana litzlan, a woman was raped, a woman was nensa, she's a married woman, she didn't do anything wrong, she was raped by another man, but she's married. And then she rehabilitates herself, and it turns out she became pregnant from that man. What is the product of that union that she had with that man who raped her? She didn't want to be in a relationship with him. So obviously she doesn't have to get divorced from her husband, which is what we learn by Esther Hamalka. The Torah, the Megillah says over there, Kasher Avadati Avadati. What happened over there was, until that point, Esther Hamalka was being nensa by Achashverosh. She didn't want to be in this marriage. Achashverosh was forcing her. Then at some point, the tables turn. At some point, Esther goes and initiates a relationship with Achashverosh. Esther says to Achashverosh, why don't we live together? She did that in order that she should be able to find favor in his eyes. At that point, she says, Kasher avadati avadati. What does it mean? We learned that in the tune of Eicha. Almost to say that at this point, now that she did something willingly, and she had a relationship with somebody else willingly while she was still married to Mordechai at Tzadik, that meant even if she ever gets out of this miserable marriage, she'll never be able to go back to him. Why? Because at that point, she was no longer raped. She was now doing something that was biritzona. So the very unfortunate situation is if you have a woman who not only does something wrong because she chooses to do something wrong. But even if you have a situation where she was nemsa, where obviously she had no interest in being involved in this, and she's repulsed by this man, and she never wanted to be, and she was abused by him, still we say, since that situation happened while she was married and a child was the result of that union, we would say that child becomes a mamzer as well. And that is extremely, extremely unfortunate. And the same, probably a more common case, of course we know that there is terrible cases of abuse and rape that happen, but even worse than that, the Gemara tells us that let's say you have, I mean the post can talk about this often, what happens if you have a woman who by no fault of her own ends up in this situation? How can you have such a story? Let's say you have a woman who's not frum, and she's not aware of the fact that there's anything wrong with doing what she did. She got married, and then she separated from her husband, and she got a secular divorce, but she never got a get, but she's not frum. This only happens in Israel. Why does it only happen in Israel? Because you have to get married by the rabbinical court. So you had a kiddushin that was kosher in the first place. And because you had a kosher wedding in the first place, now you need a kosher gerushin. Now you need a kosher get. The problem is this woman at the time wasn't frum. She didn't even think about it. I separated from my husband. We settled the divorce. What do I have to worry about? Now she goes ahead and gets married again. The problem is she's still halachically married to her first husband. And as far as she's concerned, she's doing everything right. What did I do wrong? And she goes ahead and gets married to a second man or has a relationship with a second man, not thinking that she's still an Eishes Ish. The result of that child is going to be a mamzer. So the Gemara says in Maseches Yevamos Pei Zayin Amud Beis, listen to this terrible story. Ha'isha shehalach baila lemedina sayam. A woman's husband goes away on a business trip. Ubal va'amrulam meis bailech. And they come back and they tell her, we're very sorry to inform you, we were away with your husband on this trip and he died. And we were there, and we buried him. We buried him. Why should she think any differently? There's no TV, there's no news, how's she supposed to know? No internet, no texting. There's no other way to know. Two people come, reliable sources, friends of your husband, they say, we were with him, we saw that he died, we buried him, Vinicius. And now she goes ahead and gets married. Because what's she going to do? Live single the rest of her life? So she decides, I'm going to go try to get remarried, and she gets married to somebody else. And then, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, ba-baila, all of a sudden, the husband shows up. Now, how did that happen? It's a good question. Either it means the friends were lying, or they confused him with somebody else, but the Gemara gives this case, and it says she got remarried because she was relying on the testimony of these reliable people. And then she goes ahead and marries somebody else, and then the husband shows up. Says the Gemara, teitse mizeh umizeh, she has to divorce her first husband, because now she had an affair while she was married to him. She has to divorce the second husband, because she's not really married to him, but she had a relationship with him while she was married to somebody else. So the Gemara says she loses on both ends. And on top of that, Havlad Mamzer, Mizeh Omizeh. The child that is born from that second husband, who she married Beheter, it turns out retroactively that she was really an Eishes Ish, and that child is going to be a mamzer. And if she chooses to stay married to the first husband, the child from that marriage is also going to be a mamzer. Terrible. Says the Gemara, the story of mamzeris would apply even in a situation where she's a complete anusa. How should she have known any differently? Why should she have thought I shouldn't remarry? What more of a biror can you do? How more can I try to clarify the situation than two people coming to me and telling me explicitly they buried him? So she goes ahead on their testimony, gets remarried. Still, if the husband shows up again, by some miracle, he had a Trias HaMesim, he comes back again. And Trias HaMesim is probably not a good example, because that means he died, the marriage was over, then he came back. That's a big discussion in the Balei HaTosfos talk about that. What happens by Trias HaMesim? That's going to throw a bunch of things off, right? When a husband comes back after Trias HaMesim, what exactly happens to that marriage? Interesting discussion. We should have to worry about it in Mirz Hashem, but it's very, very interesting. Anyway, this is what the Gemara says, and that is what I find very, very unfortunate and very tragic. It's not just that we make this as a knas, as a price that someone has to pay for doing something wrong. It's something that exists even where a person did nothing wrong at all. But it just seems to be, this is the metzias, this is the outcome. Sometimes, you know, Reb Chaim Shmulevitz writes in a totally different context. He writes about Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. So he says that a person, I think he's commenting on the story of Chana and Penina. So what does it say? Chana couldn't have any children, and Penina was having a flourishing family, and her family was growing. And then at some point it says that Penina started getting on the nerves of Chana. So what do you mean? Penina is a tzaddikah. So why is she getting on the nerves of Chana? Why is she making her feel uncomfortable? Why is she getting in her face about having a family and having children? So the Medrash tells us the reason why is because L'shem Shamayim Niskavna. Chana and Penina loved each other, and Penina was a tzaddika. So why are you bothering Chana? Don't you understand how sensitive a place she's in? Don't you know how vulnerable she is? What are you bothering her? The answer is, the more I bother her, the more she's going to daven. The more she's going to realize I have no one else but HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even my co-wife, even my best friend, isn't willing to be nice to me. And she's going to turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and daven with more kavana. Says the Gemara, unacceptable. And Penina was punished for the terrible feelings that Chana had as a result of the word she said. Aye, but Chana and Penina were both L'shem Shamayim. And Penina had all the best of intentions in mind. And all she wanted to do was encourage Chana to daven with more intensity. Says Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, the answer is, he gives a mashal to a fire. Somebody sticks their hand into a fire, they're going to get burnt. And what happens if they say, I stuck my hand into the fire because I didn't realize. I thought that it was cold. I didn't realize that fire is very hot. So I stuck my hand into the fire. It's not my fault. You can say it's not your fault all you want. At the end of the day, it's the reality. You stick your hand into a fire, you're going to get burnt. It doesn't matter how many good excuses you had or what you were trying to get or how cold you thought the fire was. The bottom line is, this is the reality. You stick your hand into a fire, it's going to get burnt. And says Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, you mess around with Ben Adam Lachavero, you're going to get burnt. Doesn't matter how many good intentions you have, how L'shem Shamayim you are. It doesn't matter. You want someone to daven better, to daven worse. Doesn't make a difference. You mess around with Ben Adam Lachavero, you're going to pay a price for it. Not because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is punishing you. This is what it is. Fire burns. Ben Adam Lachavero is a fire. That's the way I look at the story of Mamzerus. Mamzerus is the outcome of this act. Whether you wanted it, whether you didn't, whether you're happy about it or you're not, this is the bottom line. This is what happened, and this is the result. Whether it's my fault or it's not, this is the Metzius. What are you going to do? It's like a fire. So what's fascinating is the Gemara says in Maseches Yevamos Mem Tes, you had a question? So I hope we'll get to it. I'm not getting as far as I thought. I thought tonight I was going to cover not only the background of Mamzerus and how it happens, but all of the potential ways of getting around Mamzerus, which I guess we don't have time. You know, my students in Stern College were very, very intrigued. I was putting the phone on speaker here and there when it was appropriate to do so, and there were no particular details being discussed about this case, but the different questions that were being asked and how to try to be Matur or Mamzer, I felt it would be inspiring for the girls to hear how major poskim try to deal with the Mamzer Shaila in real time. So it ended up taking the whole class, and they were fascinated by it. So I was going to go through all the different possibilities of how you can try to get around such an issue and how the poskim really try their best to figure out how to be Matur or Mamzer, the same way we try to be Matur and Aguna. We try to get a Mamzer out of this misery if there's any halachic way that we can. This idea, this notion that if there's a halachic will, there's a halachic way, that is not a true statement. That's just not the way we work. Sometimes the halacha allows us to figure out a way to be matur or mamzer, to be matur and aguna, and sometimes, unfortunately, a person is stuck. Sometimes, unfortunately, we don't find the tzad heter, and we don't know exactly what to do. So here, what's interesting is, the Gemara says in Maseches Yevamos Daf Mem Tes that there are three different opinions in the Tanaim, what exactly will create a mamzer. What kind of two people have to be in a relationship together to have the outcome be a mamzer? That is a big discussion in the Gemara. It's a machlokes between Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Shimon HaTimni, and Rabbi Yoshua. And the Gemara in the end comes to the conclusion that we paskin like Rabbi Shimon HaTimni. And what does Rabbi Shimon HaTimni say? He says the only time that a mamzer is created is when there's a relationship with somebody who is considered a chayv krisus. When you have a relationship with somebody who you would be chayv kares for living with. The outcome of that union would be a mamzer. So therefore, an Ashes Ish, who is now having an extramarital affair, that's considered a chayvei krisus. The big question that Tosfos asks in the beginning of Maseches Gittin is, why don't we say if a husband has a relationship with his wife when she's a nida, what's the punishment for that? Kares. So why wouldn't you say that the product of a ben hanida is considered to be a mamzer? That's not the case. Let's be straight. That's not the case. It's not the halacha. But why wouldn't we say that the byproduct of a husband and wife who are together, b'shas nidusa, should then result in the outcome being a mamzer? That's a big question in Tosfos. How do you figure out? Nida seems to be an anomaly in many different ways. But either way, that's the bottom line of the Mishnah. It says any time that there's a relationship between two individuals where there would be a chiyuv kares for what they have done together, the result outcome of that child that is born is going to be a mamzer. And that is paskin lahalacha in Evan HaEzer, Simen Dalid, Seif Yud Gimel. So we are told that a mamzer is not allowed to marry into Kahal Hashem. Lo yava mamzer b'Kahal Hashem. Now, if we have a way to possibly identify an individual who is not part of the category of Kahal Hashem, maybe we have a way around the issue. Make sure the mamzer marries someone who's not part of Kahal Hashem. Now, how is that possible? Anyone who's not part of Kahal Hashem is not allowed to be married to a Jew either. If you're not part of the Jewish people, then you can't be married to a Jew either. So is there any way to come up with a situation where we'd be able to figure out somebody who's not part of Kahal Hashem and therefore would be appropriate and mutter to marry this person? The obvious answer is another mamzer or mamzeres. If you have a boy and a girl, both who have this very unfortunate situation, they should get married to each other, and that would be one way around the problem. The problem of that is, what's the problem with that? That now they're going to bring more children into the world that are going to be mamzerim. And therefore, there are those, Achronim, who say, the Beis Shmuel seems to say such an idea, Nevena Ezer, that maybe we should argue that you're not allowed to encourage them to get married to each other. Of course, you want to have companionship, and of course you want to be friends, and of course you want to be married, and it's wonderful to be in a relationship, and how sad is it that a mamzer or mamzeres is going to have to live their lives alone, but why would we encourage them to get married and then bring more children into the world that are going to have the same problem as them? What's the likelihood you're going to find a mamzer or mamzeres who's going to want to marry their kids? How many mamzerim do we know about? Not enough. The pool is not large enough that we should say, well, let's take the chance, and maybe they'll find, maybe they won't. There's enough of a shidduch problem without this. Now, sometimes he'll say, it's easier to find the shidduch for somebody who has such a specific qualification. It's much harder when you have a large shidduch pool and everyone seems to be somewhat similar in the same kind of boat, it's harder. When you have a mamzer or a mamzeres, maybe it's a little bit easier. Okay, be it as it may, but still, it seems that the Beis Shmuel seems to tell us that it may not be a good idea to have them marry each other. Shelo laharbos mamzerim b'Yisro. We don't want to have more mamzerim come. And therefore, it would be a issue. There is a discussion in the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, Machlokes Sfarim and Ashkenazim. What would be the halacha about a mamzer or a mamzeres? I'm sorry, a mamzeres, a female mamzer, marrying what we refer to as a patsua daka. What's a patsua daka? A patsua daka means someone whose male organ has been destroyed. Has been I don't know exactly what the medical term would be for it. What's a patsua daka? I don't know. He's infertile, but it's not just infertile. It's because something actually happened. So in that situation, I just don't know the English word for it. In that situation, there is a discussion: is it a patsua daka who is not really allowed to marry another Jew? So maybe we should say he's not really part of Kahal Hashem. If we're telling him he's excluded from marrying other regular people that would otherwise be allowed to be married to him, but because of his condition, he's now excluded from that. Maybe that means we exclude him totally, and we say you're in the category of not Kahal Hashem, because you're not allowed to marry anyone else, and maybe we would allow you to marry the mamzeres. That's a machlokas in Shulchan Aruch, whether or not we would say that. And the bottom line is that it seems that it's something that we do not do, because, after all, what would happen? What would the result be? Let's say a mamzeres, a female mamzeres, gets married to a patsua daka. What would the child be? Havlad holech achar hapagum. Oh, there's no child. You're right. There's no child. That's correct. That's right. What? Set her up with an islandess. So that's a big question. Anyway, that's one category of things. In Shulchan Aruch, it seems the Ashkenazim are machmer. We wouldn't allow such a thing to happen. We don't assume that somebody who's a patsua daka is not part of Kahal Hashem. There's a separate isser on them that they're not allowed to get married, and we don't generally assume that they are excluded from this general category of Kahal Hashem. Is there anyone that they could marry? Is there any way around it? So there's a very interesting Gemara. In Maseches Kiddushin, Samach Tes, Amud Aleph, I think it's actually a Mishnah, not a Gemara, where the Mishnah says as follows, Reb Tarfon, the great Tanner Reb Tarfon comes along and he says, I'm so excited. Yecholim Mamzerim Litoher. You can hear his excitement in the Mishnah and he says, I figured out a way to get around this problem of Mamzeres. What's the way? We've exhausted all options. Who are you going to find that a Mamzer can marry? I have a great idea, says Reb Tarfon. What's the answer? Mamzer Shanasa Shivcha. Here's the answer. Let the mamzer marry a shivcha. Who's a shivcha? Shivcha knatis means you have a non-Jewish woman who is taken in to be a slave in a Jewish person's home and has some kind of quasi-status of a Jew, something, somewhere in the middle. She's not totally Jewish, but she's not totally a nachris. She's somewhere in the middle. And therefore, along comes Reb Tarfon and he says, here's the answer. Let the shivcha, this servant, marry the mamzer, and what's going to be the halacha of the child that is the result of that marriage? The result should have been that that child is going to be a mamzer, because normally we say havlad holach achar apogum. However, because his mother is not really Jewish, so now the story changes. Now that child is going to be havlad eved. The child is born into a situation where his mother is a servant, and therefore he takes on the quality of his mother. After all, his mother is not really Jewish, so he's also not really Jewish. So the mamzer status can come and overwhelm the status of not really being a Jew. So what do? You have this shivcha, you marry her off to the mamzer, let them have a child. Once they have a child, that child will also be an eved, just like his mother. Once that child is an eved, free him. And once he's free, now he's okay. Once he's born already, we were koveya his status, we already determined who he is. Once we determined who he is, now he's considered to be a non-Jew. And then let's make him into somebody who is then going to be okay, and no longer have any of the status of mamzerus. That is what Reb Tarfon says. Now the Gemara comes to the maskana that this is a wonderful idea, and the chatchila we would be allowed to do this. However, it only takes care of half of the population of mamzerim. Why? Because it only takes care of the problem when you have a male mamzer who's going to be able to marry a shivcha. What do you do when you have a female mamzer, mamzeres, who doesn't have anybody to marry? There is no comparison to that. So what do you do in that situation? Lahalacha and Shulchan Aruch, we paskin, that if you're able to come up with a situation where you have a shivcha kenanis in our generation, writes the Shulchan Aruch, that would be a great idea to get around this problem. I'd be able to marry off the mamzer to the shivcha, let them have a child, then free the child, and then he's good to go. He's free. He's okay. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says. The problem is, do we actually have a shivcha today? Is there such a reality? Is it something that we really would be able to imagine? So the Mishnah Berurah writes in Hilchos Shabbos, actually. Why is it in Hilchos Shabbos? Because in Hilchos Shabbos he talks about Hilchos Amir La'akum, different things. What are we allowed to ask a non-Jew to do on Shabbos? Not allowed to do. What if I have this kind of person in my house who's somewhere in the middle? Am I allowed to ask them? Am I not allowed to ask them? So there the Mishnah Berurah gets into a discussion. Do we actually have this kind of reality of a shivcha kenanis bizman hazeh or not? Maybe this whole reality doesn't really exist anymore. And he says that if we have a situation, writes the Mishnah Berurah, if we have a situation where we would figure out how to have a shivcha kenanis, it would seem to say, if you follow what the Gemara says about how you're supposed to treat a shivcha kenanis and how you make the arrangement, it would seem that we can have the reality today as well. After all, says the Mishnah Berurah, the Shulchan Aruch and Eben Ezer says, this would be a great way to get around Mamzerus. It must be that the concept exists. Otherwise, why would the Shulchan Aruch say such a thing? And therefore, he says that would be something that certainly would be a way around. The problem with that is, many of the more recent poskim since then, Mishnah Berurah lived in the night, he passed away in 1933, I believe, the Chafetz Chaim. Since then, we know that slavery is no longer something that is acceptable. So if, let's say, in Eretz Yisrael or in the United States, certainly we wouldn't allow somebody to own a slave, then if you're bypassing the Dina de Malchusa, if you're going around the law and trying to have a slave in your home, and all you're doing is enslaving that person to be able to allow them to marry a mamzer, is that legal? And if it's not legal, who said it really works? And if it doesn't work, who said they're allowed to marry the mamzer? So that's why, number one, the problem is this issue, this patent only gets around the problem of a male mamzer. It doesn't help a female. And on the other hand, it also doesn't help us because we don't really have an institution of a shivcha, of a slave today, and therefore that is part of the major obstacle in this idea of Reb Tarfon. As exciting as it sounds, it's something that practically is not so simple. Another option of someone who is not B'Kahal Hashem would be a non-Jew. Marry a non-Jewish man, marry a non-Jewish woman. And then we would say, what is the halacha if you have a non-Jew who is married to a Jew? What is the status of that child? The Mishnah writes in Maseches Kiddushin, when you have a non-Jewish woman who is married to a Jewish man, the status of that child is, the child would be a non-Jew. And that is the way the Shulchan Aruch paskins, based on this Gemara. And as a result of that, we would say, if you have a mamzer who marries a non-Jewish woman, that child would be a non-Jew. And then they could convert. But the problem with that is, a Jew is not allowed to marry a non-Jew. Now, a mamzer may say, I want to have children, I don't want to live alone, and I'm willing to take the onesh from HaKadosh Baruch Hu of marrying a non-Jewish woman just to bring children into the world, and whatever price I pay, and that's my Aveira, the same way I talk Lashon Hara, so he goes and marries a non-Jewish woman. Okay, maybe that's his decision that he's going to make, but we can't say that that's a suggested option for him. That's certainly not something that we would allow. The Gemara says very clearly, that there's an iser for a Jewish man or Jewish woman to marry a non-Jew. As we all know, that would be a major, major problem if our children would start using that as an option, let alone a mamzer. But anyone, that would be something that we certainly would not allow. So this is something that is a really, really major issue. And unfortunately, it's something that we are confronted with. The crisis that we have now is that this wedding is really supposed to happen very, very soon. And as a result of that, we're in a little bit of a crunch to figure out what actually is the metzias that's being presented to us. It's hard sometimes to go back 25 or 30 years, what happened at the wedding, and were there really pictures and videos, and can we really retrace all the steps of what happened or didn't happen? I didn't have enough time to get into all the possible workarounds, but this is basically the background of the problem of mamzerus. Maybe another time we'll talk about what are the ways that we can potentially get around this issue and somehow come up with a heter mamzerus. If that's of interest to anyone, maybe we'll continue with